Macrothumia, 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 macrothumia. Oh, no, I'm not speaking in tongues. That's a Greek word. It's a wonderful Greek word, and it means patience. Macrothumia, patience. In the Hebrew, if you've gone with me to Israel, you know that we teach all of the tourists there a Jewish, a Hebrew phrase. It's called savlanut, and it means have patience. Savlanut, have patience. But you can't just say it. If you are a good Jew, you have to do this. Savlanut, savlanut. And if you are a seasoned Israeli, you have to say nothing. You just have to go. And people get the message. Macrothumia. It's just one of the Greek words that's translated patience. And this one has, of course, a unique meaning, literal translation. And it means this. Waiting a sufficient time before expressing anger. Oh. That does not mean that you would express anger. It just means that you are to wait before you do. It's the kind of patience that holds you back while you cool off. In English, we have an expression, short-tempered. We do not have an expression, long-tempered. If we did, that would be macrothumia. Now, in the Roman Catholic Church and Orthodox Bibles, there are some books that we do not have in the canon of our scriptures, and one of those is the book of 1 Maccabees. And in that book, the word macrothumia was used to describe the Romans who became masters of the world because they had patience. They did not jump into battle. They had victory after victory because they waited. It's the kind of patience, therefore, that makes you a winner rather than a loser. Which would you rather be? A winner or a loser? Sometimes we get impatient with events. Sometimes we get impatient with things. That is not what macrothumia means. Macrothumia means having patience with people. Waiting a sufficient amount of time before you get angry with people. Now, maybe you would be justified in getting angry with them. Maybe you would be justified in attacking someone, but instead you exercise patience, and thereby you show grace and mercy the way the Lord does with you and with me. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, macrothumia. Patience. And that's our word today in this series as we're dealing with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, macrothumia. Now, as I said earlier, it's a wonderful word, and one of the reasons that it's a wonderful word is that it is used in the Bible to describe God. 1 Peter 3. We're reminded that God waited patiently for Noah to build the ark. God could have zapped the world with his divine fingers right then and there, but he was long-suffering. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read a passage that is very well known to probably most of us here. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. Hallelujah. Aren't we thankful that God is a God of macrothumia? He does not want anyone to be lost. He loves everyone, even though everyone does not love him. He is patient with all of us, even though not everyone loves him. And one of the virtues that we as Christians are called to exhibit is macrothumia. Now that takes maturity. And maturity can take time. And maturity is not something that you can manufacture. Pastor Adrian Rogers wrote this. He said, "The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I'll tell you one thing about fruit. You will never see a fruit factory. You might see a shirt factory, but you will see a fruit orchard. You see, there is no fruit without life. You cannot manufacture patience, and the fruit of the Spirit is patience." Have you ever been in a public place and been totally annoyed by an obnoxious child having a temper tantrum? Fred? I'm sorry. Fred said, "Watch it." The immaturity of that child is on public display. And what else is on public display? That's the lack of parenting skills of some of the people that are allowing that child to be so obnoxious. Now, when you, as an adult child, have a temper tantrum like that, what does that say about you? Let's flip that over. How do you react when you are confronted by somebody else's temper tantrum? Whether it's a child or an adult. Do you get impatient? Probably, yes. But how you handle your impatience says a great deal about your maturity in Jesus Christ. I read about a man who was walking through a supermarket with a cart, and he had a child in the little child seat. And the child was being totally obnoxious and crying and yelling and screaming and having a tantrum. And this man pushing the cart kept saying, "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm, Albert, keep calm, Albert." But the child continued to yell and scream, and a lady heard all this, and she went over and she said, "Sir, I have to commend you for your patience with your child, Albert." And he said, "Madam, I am Albert." Instead of having the Holy Spirit fruit of patience, we have the non-Holy Spirit fruit of impatience. Pastor Dan Betzer wrote about a rather extreme example of it. He said, it happened about 4 p.m. during rush hour traffic. It seemed like every car on earth was in my lane. Have you ever been there? A young guy kept weaving in and out of traffic and cutting people off and cursing at them. Because he had to stop, because all of the other cars were waiting for the light to change. And at that moment, a man behind him got out of his car, walked to the young driver's door, and pushed the muzzle of a gun through the window and shot the young man dead. The headlines the next day said, "Road rage." Pastor Betzer said, now, two questions came to my mind about this example. Question number one, why would that young driver act so foolishly? It turns out this young man had been arrested a number of times for drug abuse and alcohol abuse and driving without a license. So apparently this was his modus operandi of life. Question number two, why would that other driver get so upset with him that he would spend the rest of his life in prison? My goodness, the rest of his life behind bars just for venting steam during one short moment of his life. Sometimes anger is like that. It's thumos. It just burst up in flame. And instead of waiting a sufficient amount of time, we burst. There was a time in our lives when I would say that kind of behavior is rare. Not now. There was a time in my life when I would have said that kind of behavior is on the streets, not in our homes. Not now. There was a time I would have said it never happens in a church. Not now. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the devil is impatience. Makrothumia waiting a sufficient amount of time before expressing anger. Now, here are a few short quotes that I found about patience. A man without patience is like a car without brakes. Is that you? Here's another one. Patience is the ability to put up with people that you would like to put down. Is that you? Here's another one. The key to everything is patience. You get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it open. Which one are you, a hatcher or a smasher? In 2006, the Associated Press did a survey of 1,000 American adults concerning impatience. And here are some of the findings that they published. When waiting in line in a store, it takes an average of 17 minutes for a person to lose their patience. 17 minutes. When I read that, I couldn't believe it. If I had to wait on the line 17 minutes, I probably would have abandoned my cart and left the store. Here's another finding. When placed on hold on the telephone, most people lose their patience within 9 minutes. I was shocked by that one too. How do you measure up to this? They reported that men are more impatient than women. Yikes. Ouch. Another red mark, guys. They also reported that people with a college education and high income are far more impatient than people with a lower income and less education. Where are you in that description? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. I don't have to tell you that we live in a fast-paced environment all around us. We live with an attitude of, I want it now. That's the way life has become. Impatient. Is that you? Too many people today, including Christians, are impatient with other people. They ditch their spouses. They dissolve their friendships. They resign their volunteer organizations. They jump from one church to another. And worse, when God does not answer their prayers the way they want Him to answer their prayers, and quickly, they abandon Him too. God does not work by our alarm clock, and His timing is perfect. Psalm 40, verse 1, the psalmist sang this song, I waited patiently for the Lord. What is your song? Do you sing, I gave up waiting patiently for the Lord? Do you pray to God? Do you feel like that He does not hear you? Or that He does not answer your prayers? Reverend E.M. Bounds wrote this. He said, I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough for God. They just drop down and say a few words and then jump up and forget it and expect God to answer them. Such praying always reminds me of the small boy ringing his neighbor's doorbell and then running away as fast as he can go. Is that you? The Apostle James said this in chapter 5, verse 7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains? How do you measure up to that description? Do you have to have a Wegmans or a farmer's market within a short driving distance so that you can get your produce now? Or are you willing to wait for the land to produce its harvest? God is patient, and guess what? God wins. You've read the last chapter. God wins. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Listen to this, Proverbs 14, verse 29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Now let's make that gender neutral. A patient person has great understanding, but a quick-tempered person displays folly. Now listen to Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up dissension, but a patient person calms a quarrel. Do you display folly and dissension with your spouse, with significant others in your life, or do you display understanding and calmness? The spirit of macrothumia dwells within you. Do other people realize that? Do other people see it in you and the way you treat one another? Psalm 37, 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Ephesians 4, 2, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now I found some things that I want to read to you that are just absolutely perfect for the majority of people in this room, including moi. I love this letter. It's called An Elderly Person's Prayer. I don't know who wrote it, but they must have been listening into my phone calls and reading my emails, and they figured me out. They've been spying on me. Listen, Lord, keep me from the habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. No comment. Lord, release me from craving to straighten out everyone's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me to endure them with patience, but seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and I love rehearsing them, and it's becoming sweeter as the years go by. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it is possible that I may be mistaken. Pause. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Lord, give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Make me thoughtful, but not moody. Helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends in the end. Amen. And while we're talking about elderly people, I want to share this one too. Dr. James Dobson read this on his program, Focus on the Family. Did anyone ever listen to James Dobson, Focus on the Family? Don't you miss it? Aren't we grateful we had it in our lives? It's called An Old Mother's Prayer. To all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things that I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me, and for you to be relaxed. We can talk, or we can just be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past. With my slowness and with my set ways, I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statement. I can't remember what time to take my medication, or if I took it already. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep helps pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. These are the priceless gifts that I want. And finally, in his letter, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I can too. It is a wonderful feeling to know that his eye is on the sparrow and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom. The fruit of patience is to have patience with other people. And I'm going to close with yet one more. This was told by Billy Graham, and it's about his departed wife, Ruth Graham. Billy Graham said this, long before she became bedridden, Ruth was driving through a stretch of highway under construction. After she passed sign after sign, warning drivers to be cautious, she finally came to the last one that said, end of construction, thank you for your patience. And when she got home, she laughed and she said, I want that phrase engraved on my tombstone. And while we all enjoyed the humor, we also appreciated the truth that those words conveyed. Every human being is under construction, from conception to death. Each life is made up of mistakes and learning, waiting and growing, practicing patience, and being persistent. At the end of construction, death, we have completed the process. When you go to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina today, you can visit a little graveyard off to the side of the building where Ruth Graham is buried and where Billy Graham's grave awaits him. And her grave is marked with a rough stone, and written on the stone, it says this, Ruth Bell Graham, June 10, 1920, through June 14, 2007. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Let us pray. Lord God, we're in this thing together called life, and we're in this thing together called death, and none of us has all the answers, and all of us can be impatient. So Lord, help us to wait patiently upon the Lord and rest in you. And help us to know that all things are under your control in your perfect timing. And may you, Lord, quiet our spirits, quiet our busy souls, and help us to wait patiently for you and the end of construction. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.